Hey y'all, it is Samantha, the Urban Homesteader, and I am coming to you from our farm, Running Wild Homestead, in downtown Edgefield, South Carolina. And I know it's been a bit, life gets crazy, but I wanted to share some excitement with you about what we're doing here on our farm. So, in April of last year, we bought an additional piece of property adjacent to our home, which doubled our space and has given me the area to really expand what I'm doing and growing. And yeah, I'm already jumping on it and I'm doing it and I'm going and I'm very excited. We had a lot of work to do when we first got the property because the property was covered in thick bamboo. Y'all, bamboo is the devil. I hate that stuff. Oh my God, it's so bad. If anybody even offers me bamboo, I throw up my hands and run. Don't plant bamboo on your property. It's horribly invasive and it's incredibly difficult to get rid of. Though I did have a great time driving the track hoe through it. That was extremely satisfying and I kind of want to do it again. We have like this small section of bamboo left that we have not cut down yet. I kind of want to drive through it. It was so much fun. But all the bamboo's gone, and we've overseeded everything with rye and clover and wildflowers just to kind of help hold the soil in place while it settles. So, you know, fun stuff. Over the next couple of months, we are going to be working on putting our garden in place. I now have the space to put in a much larger garden, and you better believe it, I am expanding. Excuse me, y'all. It's allergy season. The pollinating has begun. I was actually cleaning out the goat pen yesterday. No, day before yesterday, and I saw a cloud of what looked like smoke coming from the direction of my neighbor's house. I'm like, oh no, his house is on fire. And I start heading in that direction, only to realize it was my cedar tree releasing its pollen into the air. And I'm telling y'all, it looked like smoke. It was thick and, yeah, I'm dying. My allergies are so bad right now. But going back to the goat pen, we got goats, y'all. Our dairy is, well, we got the goats. They're still babies. They're about 10 weeks old. 11 weeks old? 10 weeks old? 10 weeks old. Their names are Cinnamon and Dolly. If you're on Facebook or Instagram, I'm sure you've seen pictures of them. Cinnamon is as spicy as her name, but she loves to hop up in your lap and lay down and snuggle. And Dolly is, she is such a doll baby. Her real name is Dolce, but because she's a doll and just the sweetest little thing, I call her Dolly. They are just precious. It'll be a while before we actually get milk from them, which is fine because my best friend just bought goats after I got mine. And hers are pregnant, so I will be getting milk from her, which means cheese and butter and soap and yogurt and all the good things here in the next couple of months. And I'm really excited to share that with y'all. But I wanted to talk to you guys today about what we did to get ready for our goats, because a lot of people are, and I saw this on Facebook in our community group, a lot of people are looking into getting animals, both chickens and goats. Just things to help offset costs, and I'm really excited that there's more people looking into providing for their families in this manner. So if you're looking to provide for your family, I thought I would share with you some of the things that we do to get rid of, y'all, I don't think I finished my coffee. What did I do with my cup? I might need more coffee. But to get ready for chickens and for goats. The easiest one, let's get ready for chickens. It really depends. Are you getting chicks or are you going to get full-grown hens already laying or close to laying on what you're going to need initially? If you start with chicks, you're going to need a nice brooder box. A lot of people use like those metal water troughs that Tractor Supply or the farm store sells. Those work great. They've got tall sides. You put some bedding in the bottom, make sure they have food and water and a heat lamp. Baby chicks need to be at 90 degrees, so you're going to want that heat lamp so that they can stay warm. And as they get a little older, you'll move the heat lamp up. And once they're fully feathered, you can throw them out to the chicken coop and they are fine. They don't need extra heat, but they need heat until they're fully feathered. We do things a little bit differently. People may look at us funny for it, and that's fine. We actually take our day-old chicks, and we have an outside brooder that allows, it's got a protected place where the heat lamp is so the chicks can go underneath it, but it also has a little bit of a yard so that they can get out and get in the sunshine and just, you know, enjoy the outdoors where they're going to be. We found that doing this, our chicks feathered out a lot faster than if we raised them strictly in a brooder in the house. And I personally like them feathering out a little faster. It's a little more natural. So that's what we do. Now, when they're old enough to go outside because they're fully feathered or you can take them off the heat, you need a safe place for them to go where they are protected from predators. Free range is fabulous. My chickens have free ranged and the eggs were delicious. The chickens were happy, but they were also free game for hawks and dogs. And we decided not to do that. When we bought the new property, it came with a big 50 by 50 dog kennel and it had trees and scrub and stuff. So it gives them protection. So they're more pastured than free range. Free range is definitely an option because free range allows them to eat grasses and plants and bugs and things that nature intended. There's no such thing as a vegetarian chicken. But to kind of mimic a chicken's more natural diet with bugs and stuff, we do supplement with mealworms and we do their grain and their cracked corn and they get table scraps. And they love them. This helps us cut down on our feed costs, and it's great. But you're going to need a shelter. We have a chicken coop. We built it. You can buy the prefurbished kits. You can just build a wood box with a roof and give them, you know, a ladder to roost on and maybe a couple of 5-gallon buckets to make nests in. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be simple. You can make it however you want, but chickens need a safe place to roost at night where they will roost in your trees. I've had chickens do that. Or they used to roost on the side of my porch, and I hated when they did that because they made such a mess. Inside their chicken coop, you should put some bedding down. I use straw, and we don't clean it out every day. We clean our chicken coop about 2, sometimes 3 times a year. We use what's called the deep litter method. It's kind of works for us. So every time you put in bedding, you just put the bedding on top of the last bit and it just kind of builds up. So as it's building up, it's also composting. So when you go to clean out your coop, you'll clean out a good 6 to 8 inches of bedding and you just carry that right over your compost pile and throw it in. It works for us. Everybody does their thing a little bit different. We have dirt floors in our coop. Some people like concrete. Again, it is up to you how you want to do it. Pinterest is a great place. YouTube is a great place if you're looking for more information on how to build a coop or how to do the bedding. When it comes to feed, you want to start your babies on a chick grower. It has about a 20% protein. And this helps them grow out and get older when they begin laying eggs. We have a 16% layer feed. You can do crumbles or you can do pellets. We personally choose pellets because we found that our chickens wasted a lot more feed if we used the crumbles. So we go to Tractor Supply and we purchase the Producer's Pride brand. We do use their Do More brand for scratch. Chickens love it. Chickens need clean water. You can get waterers. Those are easy. And essentially, chickens are easy. I mean, they can be complicated. Y'all, I can't speak today. But for the most part, they're pretty easy. They need a safe place to sleep. They need food and water. And you get an egg every day. Well, most days. Chickens, depending on breed, will lay an egg every day to every other day. for so many months. They don't lay when they're molting. Egg laying slows down significantly in the winter. I know right now people are freaking out about chickens not laying a lot, especially since we're in an egg crisis and it's wintertime. Chickens slow down on laying. It's the amount of light. I mean, you can supplement light and that'll help with the egg laying. We just let our chickens kind of do their own thing and they're pretty happy. My friend Deb at Full Circle Homestead says she puts cayenne pepper in her chickens' feed and it has boosted their egg laying as well. I haven't tried that. I thought about trying that because we've got like 17 hens and I'm only getting like 6 eggs a day. But again, it's winter. Some of them just molted. It's not a big deal. Big deal. God, I can't speak. It'll be okay. There are some parasites you got to watch out for, some health conditions you got to watch out for. We recently lost a hen to sauerkraut and egg binding. It kind of hit her. She got both. There wasn't a whole lot to do. I did do a YouTube video on that. It's on my YouTube page, The Urban Homesteader. So you can go back and watch that. Just if you're squeamish or you have a weak stomach, just be aware there is... It was tough for me, okay? I did the best I could. Let's see. There's also a misconception about chicken eggs that I personally find a little bit funny. And I've argued till blue in the face and people are going to believe what they want to believe. So chicken, I had a conversation or I ran across a post on Facebook and it sparked a conversation. Someone had posted a picture of some blue eggs they had picked up at one of the grocery stores and were talking about how excited they were to have found these blue eggs because they were so much healthier than the brown and the white eggs. Look, y'all. The nutrition of an egg has nothing to do with the color of the egg. A white egg, a brown egg, and a blue egg can all have the same nutritional value if they are laid by a healthy chicken. I say this because I've had chickens that lay all the colors, and I know how my chickens are raised. They get a very good diet. They're very happy chickens. If you compared them, crack them open, and compare them to the store-bought chicken eggs that are grown by conventional chicken farms, my chickens' eggs will have a much higher nutritional value because they are less stressed, they have a better diet, and better living conditions than those grown in a conventional chicken farm. The color of the shell has to do with the breed of the chicken, not the nutritional value of the egg. So, just wanted to clear up that misconception. And I wish you the absolute best luck with your chickens. Now, getting ready for goats. That was a lot of fun. I did a lot of research. I've been talking to my husband about wanting to get dairy goats for... Oh, I probably wore his ears out for 2 years about them. And he finally said, all right, let's do it. And you better believe I jumped on it. We got an alert that our goats had been born because we worked with a local goat farmer here in our county. And she alerted me on November 11th that my goats had been born. And she sent me pictures. She said I had to wait 8 weeks. No, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I don't remember. 6 or 8 weeks. I don't remember. But I brought them home on January 20th. And before I could bring them home, we had to make sure we had everything in place. I've been slowly squirreling away supplies. Because they were young, they needed a decent shelter and a place that I could keep them. Right now, they're running around the giant chicken yard eating privet and bamboo, and they're happy. They're so spoiled, y'all. These goats, bless their hearts. I am so attached to them. I love them to death. They follow me around. They lay on me. They're wonderful. But I had a 10 by 10 dog kennel that I had bought for a rabbit project at one point. And when I decided that that wasn't going to work for me for my rabbits, it just kind of sat there. We used it, you know, as a brooder for a little while. And we may still use it as a brooder because as my goats get bigger, I want to move them elsewhere. So my 10x10 has been retrofitted for whatever I decided I wanted to do. But my husband took my 10x10 and we moved it to a new spot in the yard. We put a roof on it and we put a tin wall up about a third of the way around the bottom just to kind of help, one, give protection from the weather and so that the goats couldn't push out and something couldn't dig in. It is spectacular, y'all. I am working on a YouTube video so I can show you kind of what we did and y'all can recreate it. But goats, my goats needed food, they need water, they need shelter, and they need a place to run. We set all of that up. I picked up hay because goats need to have access to hay at all times so that they don't eat things they're not supposed to. I picked up the grain. I initially picked up medicated grain, but after taking my goats to their first vet appointment, she recommended not using the medicated grain all of the time because the goats would develop an intolerance to it. So we are transitioning off of the medicated grain onto a more regular grain just to save myself from that trouble. We do vaccinate our goats. I had to pick up some vaccination. I got them vaccinated. My mother-in-law came and taught me, and I'm going to give a second dose in about a month. They're going to get two doses this year, and then they'll get a dose next year. This is protecting them from tetanus and coccidia, and there was something else. I don't remember what it is, but I got it at Tractor Supply. It was $12 for a bottle. There's like 10 doses in it. So this little bottle will last me for a little while. I also picked up some things just in case. Building a vet first aid box is a great thing, and we will do a podcast on that just so that we can cover all of our bases and make sure that you have what you need in case your animal comes down sick or injured and you can treat them. But getting ready for goats was fairly easy. I mean, we're still learning. I have a friend who's going to teach me how to do fecal examination so that I can check my goats for parasites. I'm going to learn how to do I'm learning how to do Fomacha scoring, which is checking their eyes for the redness level. I was told the redder the better. You can often, by using the Fomacha, and you can Google it, it's FAMACHA, Fomacha. You can tell the health of your goat, whether they're ailing or they're sick or they've got a parasite overload. You can tell a lot just from Fomacha scoring. I recommend getting classes on that. They offer them. I'm going to get certified and do all that. But do a quick Pinterest or Google search and you can learn a lot of information off of that. Goats deal with a lot of parasites, and so you're going to need to regularly worm them. We bought wormer. My vet also gave me some wormer just so that I am fully covered. She gave me instructions on when to worm, how to worm. My goats will be set. Not going to like me very much when I do it, but they're going to do it. I also have a friend who's going to come teach me how to trim their hooves. Goats' feet have to be trimmed pretty regularly. Otherwise, they can develop foot rot. So a friend just sent me a link for the proper shears, and I'm going to order those. And then she's going to come teach me how to trim feet so that I can maintain my goat's feet properly. So start handling. If you decide to get goats, handle them. Touch their feet. Hold their, you know, just get them used to being handled. As my goats get a little bit older, I'm going to start training them to get up on the goat stand so that when it's time for milking and whatnot, it's easier. They'll be used to it. I'm excited about that. I feel like there was more that I did to get ready. I read a lot. I read everything. One of the things I would recommend if you decide to get goats, there's several Facebook groups that you can follow. I'm in one called Goat Emergency Care. Y'all, I have learned so much just reading posts about what other people are dealing with their goats and then how to treat them based on the responses from the experts. I would recommend joining groups. I would recommend doing your reading and your research for all of this. That way, when you get ready to get your goats or your chickens, you are prepared and you go in a little bit less anxious when something does go on. But there wasn't a whole lot of other stuff that I did. Like I said, I'm still researching, I'm still reading. I'm trying to find things that I can supplement in both my chicken and my goat's diets. That way, you know, there's a little variety. They love fresh grass. They love fresh vegetables. Carrots are a great treat. Even my dogs like carrots. Carrots are a wonderful treat. I wouldn't give too many of them because they are kind of sweet. And when I get my rabbits, you know, carrots are a good treat for them too. But for rabbits, carrots are like crack. So carrots and blueberries and beets and lots of roughage is great for goats. If you guys have any questions, feel free to leave a comment in the comment section or find me on Facebook and Instagram and shoot me a message. I'm always happy to answer any questions that you have. And if you have any suggestions or recommendations or heck, even some tips or advice on how to, you know, do things with my farm or my animals, I am always happy to learn something new. And until then, I hope you guys have a spectacularly blessed day. Until next time, friends.